This is the Steve Gruber Show. Sitting in today for Steve is Scott Bertram.
Steve Gruber Show, Tuesday morning, this July 31st. Thank you for joining us. Sitting in for Steve. Joined on the phone lines right now by Colin Hanna. He's president of Let Freedom Ring, nonprofit, nonpartisan, public policy organization with a three-pronged mission statement promoting constitutional government, economic freedom, and traditional values. You can find them at letfreedomringusa.com. Colin, thanks for jumping on the Steve Gruber Show.
Well, thank you, Scott, and thanks for a magnificent commercial for us to begin it.
You're great. Well, thanks. I outlined some of the general things. You now take the opportunity. Tell us a bit about more about the work that Let Freedom Ring does.
Well, we basically advocate for free markets, freedom across the board. We're a fairly broad-based public policy organization in that we take up everything from judicial issues to social issues to financial and defense issues. But the central organizing principle for everything we do is expressed in our name, which is freedom. We are a pro-freedom organization. We are very skeptical of government solutions when either free enterprise solutions or just plain absence of governmental interference seems to us to be the better course.
Now, when we talk about liberty and freedom on the economy, well, President Trump and his administration doing a pretty darn good job, I would think. Pro-growth tax reform, more money in everyone's pockets, rolling back regulations. And we see job growth, and we see economic growth. That 4.1 GDP number from Friday, looks pretty spiffy.
It sure does. And, of course, the liberal left is full of naysayers saying that it's unsustainable, which is a pretty weak argument against what appears to be a solid indication of market support for lower regulations, lower taxes, and allowing the free enterprise system to operate with fewer constraints. That's been one of the principal focuses of our organization since we were founded in 2004. We've got some 65,000 members. I encourage your listeners to come to our website and just see the kinds of things that we're doing. We are conservative in our political ideology, but primarily common sense, freedom-oriented in all of the policies that we espouse. One of the things that we were talking about before this show are some of the abuses that are going on at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
Yes.
There's a perfect example, Scott, of the difference between this administration and the previous one. The CFPB was ostensibly set up to protect consumers from onerous policies of lenders and so on, the kind of rogue acts of banking that the left would like you to believe occurs everywhere. They replace it with onerous regulations that actually choke the life out of banks. It is the most unaccountable, newly created federal organization you can imagine.
Talk a bit about...
I'd love to spend a minute or two talking about them and about the president's executive order for job creation. These are the kinds of things that I think make it possible to sustain that 4.1% growth number that you cited.
Yeah, you had a piece up at foxnews.com, anti-Trump Democrats seek to block appointment of Consumer Financial Protection Bureau director. You touched on it a bit, but the CFPB came out of Dodd-Frank, that reform, unelected, totally unaccountable agency. There is nothing else quite like that in government.
Absolutely. Let me give you an example of just how unaccountable it is. First of all, it is an agency of the executive branch of government, right? Which means that at the very least, it is accountable to the president who heads the executive branch.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, not in the case of CFPB. The way that is set up is that once the director is appointed, that person does not serve at the pleasure of the president. And if the president changes during a five-year term of the director of the CFPB, the president does not have the ability to fire and replace. You know, you can change the Treasury Secretary, you can change
right.
the Defense Secretary, you can change the Health and Human Services Secretary, but the President cannot change the head of the CFPB. That's fundamentally wrong. In fact, I think you could argue, persuasively in my opinion, that it's unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
The other unaccountability, Scott, is to the Congress. The one thing that we all learn in early civics class in school is that the Congress holds the purse strings, so that if the executive wants to expand or somehow change a part of the executive department, they can do so only with the approval of the Congress through the budgeting of executive department branches, right? So that if you want to put more money in the health program, or you want to change the way the census is constructed and how much money you spend on census, all of that stuff should be accountable to Congress, because that's where the budget is set. That's where the purse strings are set. But in the case of the CFPB, oh no, because unlike virtually every other executive branch department, the CFPB budget is buried as a specific percentage inside the Federal Reserve's budget. So the only way you could cut the CFPB's budget is to cut the Federal Reserve's budget, and that's entirely unthinkable because it's a small percentage of a very large budget, and you wouldn't try to cut a large budget in order to attack a small budget. So it is a virtually unaccountable agency. So what do you expect an unaccountable agency to do? The first thing you expect it to do is kind of run away with excessive regulations and its own spending. It's $200-some billion over budget. So it is just, it is a perfect example of the kind of unconstitutional construction that big government people like to have. And Kathy Craninger has been brought in, has been nominated by the president to succeed the departed Richard Cordray. Mm-hmm. Why did Cordray depart? Because he was a political hack, Scott. He has spent his life in and out of elective office, failing here and there, pops into regulatory positions for a while, then runs for another office, and then fails to win re-election and goes back into government as a bureaucrat. Well, he now resigned to run for governor of Ohio, displaying his true political colors. And Mick Mulvaney stepped in briefly as acting director, and now the president has proposed Kathy Craninger to replace Mick Mulvaney as acting director. And she comes out of the Office of Management and Budget. The Democrats are complaining that she doesn't have deep experience in bank and financial services regulation. Mm-hmm. No, she shouldn't. She has her experience in trying to cut government down to size. That's the kind of person that you want to have in charge of a runaway, unaccountable agency, not someone from within the bureaucracy that will tend to preserve the bureaucracy. So I would urge your listeners to call their senators and say, we need somebody at the CFPB that will restore the principles of accountability to that agency. Let it do what it's supposed to do, protect consumers, rather than simply layer on the kind of regulation that, among other things, has had exactly the wrong effect, like its impact on community banks.
Boy, right.
Community banks are so important.
Yep.
But community banks are being choked, their life is being choked out by CFPB.
Colin Hanna from Let Freedom Ring, that runs us out of time. I invite people to check out letfreedomringusa.com. Also, the piece is two big reasons in favor of the T-Mobile Sprint merger. Very good there, too. Colin, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you, Scott. Bye-bye.
There's Colin Hanna from Let Freedom Ring.